Good morning, folks. Good to see you all here today. Happy Father's Day to the men that are here, that are fathers. And we'll be saying more a little bit about that here in just a little bit. But let me welcome you if you're visiting with us for the first time. Always excited to have new visitors. The ushers are going to come forward at this time. And as they make their way back, if you haven't received one of our visitor welcome packets, would you just raise your hand, please? They'll see that, give you one. And then if you could, fill out the information card for me that's located inside. And in a little while, take that information card and just drop that in the offering plate when it comes around. I hope I'll be able to shake your hand before you leave this morning. Thank you so much again for being here. Let's go ahead and look at some of the announcements that I need to highlight. First one is there is no evening service tonight. Just wanted to point that out. The choir, I'm sure, was ecstatic to learn that there's no choir practice either later this afternoon. So please keep that in mind. But then this coming Saturday is the zoo trip for the younger kids. Moms and dads, we need to get the permission slips turned in. I'm the bus driver. I just killed half the people that are coming right there. They're not coming now. I'll behave. I'll drive good. But I need to know which bus to have ready. And so we need those slips turned in so we know how many to plan for. Please, if you could do that by Wednesday. Also, the baby bottles that we've passed out on Mother's Day for the Crisis Pregnancy Center, we need those back today. And we'd like to get them turned in tomorrow, if possible. So if you forgot to bring yours this morning, you can go ahead and bring it back with you tonight. And and we can get those turned in. No, not tonight. Okay. Just bring them back tonight. Leave them outside the church. Don't do that. Don't do that. Bring them in tomorrow morning right away. How about this then? If you didn't bring it with you this morning, bring it by the office tomorrow morning, and then after lunch, we'll make sure we take them all over to the pregnancy center where they can begin processing those. Thank you so much for being a part of that. Camp scholarships are still available. We have enough for about another 4 or 5 kids. So if yours hasn't signed up yet, you need to get her done because those scholarships are draining fast. And please get those turned in just as soon as possible. Also, there is a nursing home service on the 30th of this month at Hickory Estates, our assisted living service there. And the fifth Sunday, so 2 weeks from today, June 30th, we're going to do something a little bit different Sunday night like we did a few months ago on our fifth Sunday. We're going to be moving the service up to 5 o'clock instead of 6. And then after the service is over with, we'll just break up into groups. Everyone will decide where they're going, and we'll just go out for dinner at a local restaurant. Or if you just want to get something to drink, that's fine. But we're going to plan on doing that again. We had a lot of good comments the last time we did that. Just people enjoyed being able to go out and fellowship with each other in some of the local restaurants. And I heard back from many of the restaurants. They thanked us as well for that. Not really, but that's what we're planning for the fifth Sunday, June 30th of this month. And then there's the 4th of July cookout. Please sign up. Again, we need to know how many's coming so we can plan appropriately. Let's see. I think next Sunday is teens are having a snack. Looks like pizza and 9 Square after church that night. So if you like to play 9 Square, be a teenager and come that night and just have fun with everyone else. So I think that's it by way of announcements. Let's go ahead now and direct our hearts towards worshiping God.
Stand together as we sing page number 1. We'll start at the front and sing all the way through the book today. On our Father's Day, page number 1, joyful, joyful.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of glory, lights of gold and dazzling glory, opening to the sky above. Thank you.
I will sing of the mercies.
Father in heaven, God, we thank you for the many, many mercies, the abounding mercies that you just give to us every day. Lord, sadly, we probably miss most of those. God, I pray, though, as today, as we worship you, that our hearts and our minds would be directed toward those mercies that you provide us. And we thank you, we praise you, we honor you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As I mentioned earlier, it is Father's Day, and hopefully you fathers realize that already, because your kids have just been calling you all morning long, and calling back twice, in fact. I'm waiting for mine to do that, but fathers are very special, are they not? Unfortunately, if we look at our society, fathers are not held in high esteem. That's just the way it seems to be in our society, whether it's through the programming that we see on TV, their own choices, the real-life news statistics that we see. Fathers are not held in high esteem today. And thank God, though, for Christian men who are willing to make the effort to be a man of God in their home. Are we perfect? Absolutely not. Do we fail? Yes, we do. But God says this in Proverbs, a righteous man falls and gets back up. Not a righteous man doesn't fall, but a man is righteous because when he falls, he gets back up. And men, that's what we need to do. When we leave today, we have a gift here to give to all of the men that are here present today. Just like Mother's Day, if you don't have children, that's okay. Because as a man of God, you can kind of like be an adopted dad to men, younger men and boys around you. And we would certainly encourage that. Choir's going to sing a song right now about the steps of a good man.
The best steps are toward Christ. Page 540, I run to Christ.
As we continue to worship God through our giving here this morning, continue to pray for those. We had a couple of emails that went out here just yesterday for Anna. She's recovering. If she responds well to the antibiotics, she should be coming home tomorrow. And continue to pray for Elfrida. You know, she had taken a fall Monday and broken her nose. She didn't realize until Wednesday night, Thursday, that she had also broken her kneecap. And so that's why she's in the hospital, as per that email from last night. She's going to be in there a few days right here in Taylorville. I know she would love a visit from as many as can make it. Monty, would you lead us in prayer?
Lord, it's good to be in the house of God this morning. And we do pray for the ones that aren't able to be here, that want to be here, flooding or whatever may be happening with them, be with them and help them there. We pray that we will clear our minds of all cares of the world and focus on the preaching this morning and let you take care of our cares. And we thank you, Lord, for the money you allow us to make in your job, etc. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
glad you can sing. My goodness, what would you do those heavy loads if we couldn't sing? And Sharon reminded me this morning a verse in the Bible that says, merriness is good for the heart like a medicine. And some of you look like you needed antidepressants this morning. Come on now. Stand with me as we sing about God's blessed assurance is mine. This morning, and some of you look like you got your tax bill in the mail this week, but it'll be all right. It'll be all right. Ladies, would you come and sing this morning just before Pastor preaches, and have a merry heart in your life. It's so much easier.
I've discovered the
so much. Let's take our Bibles out, please, and turn to Proverbs chapter 2, Proverbs chapter number 2 this morning. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, God, we have to thank you for your word. These words of wisdom that are from your heart to ours. Not just to instruct us about you, but that so we might know you as our Heavenly Father, as our Savior, as our God, as our Creator, as our Sustainer, as our Judge. These words, Lord, are your words to us. So God, I pray that this morning, as we hear your words, that we would allow your words to speak to our heart. God, I pray that as I deliver your words, that you would enable me, Lord, to present your truth. And as we hear these words that I present, God, I pray you would help us to focus on your words in them and focus on the truth that you want us to learn today. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you imagine living in the Garden of Eden? I mean, think about it. Can you imagine living in the Garden of Eden? I'm just going to just take a little awkward break here for just a moment and ask the guys upstairs if you could tweak me up just a little bit. There were some last week that had some difficulty hearing me, and I don't want to be a screamer, so if they tweak that up for me a little bit. But think about living in the Garden of Eden and walking every day with God. Wow. I can't imagine it. Adam and Eve did that. They walked with God every single day. Not just walking with him, but talking with him. They had something that we don't have today. They had something then that I don't think we can imagine even today. They had unfettered access to God's wisdom. Nothing hindered God's wisdom from coming to them. When sin entered because man chose to sin, that connection, that fellowship with God was cut off. And not just the fellowship, but think about the collateral damage of that fellowship being broken. But now we don't have that unfettered access to the wisdom of God because of sin. Unless that which is above us, unless that can be inside of us, we are going to yield to that which is around us. Think about that. Unless God's wisdom is inside of us, we are going to yield to the wisdom around us, the world's way of thinking about things. Take, for example, I'm just going to pull this in from the New Testament just as a way to visualize it. Peter, walking on the water. As long as he kept his eyes focused on God, he was fine. When he started looking at everything around him, the waves, this is too scary, this is too much, bad things are going to happen to me, and he started making decisions self-consciously in his mind based on what was around him, that's when he started to sink. Things did not get better for him when he did that. When he took his eyes off of God. When we take our eyes off of God's wisdom that he gives us in the Word of God, things don't get better. I've noticed that in my own life. I've noticed that in church life, in the lives of other people. Abraham did the same thing. He looked at the trouble that was around him. He looked at the circumstances around him. Beautiful wife in a foreign country. He chose to not trust what God told him. Remember the Abrahamic covenant. God said, this is going to happen. You will be the father of many nations. There was no need to fear. But he looked at the circumstances and he made a choice based on those instead of the words of God. the words that God actually spoke to him. Like we had talked about Wednesday night. You know, I debated maybe just preaching Wednesday nights today because it just ties in with this. This is the word of God that God gives us. And many times I'm afraid we read God's word with the intention that we're not going to do it anyway. Oh, we would never say that. But we hear God's word and say, yeah, okay. We hear from above, and then we look at around us and we say, yeah, okay. And then go back to making our own choices. That's what Abraham did. He did the same thing. Instead of going to the source of wisdom, he went his own path. He did that which he thought was right in his own eyes. That's what made sense to him. That which felt right to him. And what happened? It caused more problems in his life, didn't it? When we don't do things God's way, although it may seem right to us at the time, based on the circumstances, based on our feelings at the time, if it's not God's way, it gets worse. If we're going to accurately interpret the things in life and death and eternity, we need the wisdom of God, folks. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 2 as we look at this concept that wisdom is a gift. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom." There's a difference between God's wisdom and the wisdom of the earth. God says in James that man's wisdom is earthly, it is unspiritual, it is demonic. Man's wisdom, all of this, is earthly, unspiritual, and God even uses the word demonic. But his wisdom, as he compares it in James, God says his wisdom is pure, it is peaceable, it is gentle, it is open to reason, it is full of mercy, full of good fruits. Now, there's a whole lot of words there. There's a message right there just in all of those words. But just look at that last one. Consider that last one. God's mercy is full of good fruits. Fruits is something that develops from the right root, the right source, the right nutrition, the right feeding, and you get good fruits from your fruit trees, let's say. When we have the right source of wisdom, the result is good fruit. There is a difference between God's wisdom and man's wisdom. God's wisdom is impartial, it tells us in James. It is sincere. It results in a harvest of righteousness by those who make peace. By those who make peace. Wisdom is part of spiritual growth. The wisdom that God gives us, it's part of spiritual growth. Let's see how. In James chapter 1, we'll go to that passage. James chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." If any of you lack wisdom, the word lack means destitute, nothing, nil. If any of you lack or destitute, nothing in the realm of wisdom, you don't know what God's word has to say. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21 tells us that with all the wisdom of the world, man cannot know God. It is destitute, nothing. With all of the wisdom of the world, we still can't know God. Only when a man will acknowledge his own spiritual destitution, his own spiritual lack, recognize his own inability to face the conflicts of life, only then will God give his gift of wisdom. It's kind of like my children before. Maybe you've experienced with your children at different ages. I've talked about it before. My son, for example, he's very independent. By the way, if you're a parent of an independent child, don't despair. That's a good quality to have. It's up to us as parents to guide and direct that in the right path. But, I mean, even putting his socks on, tying his shoes, I do it. I do it, Daddy. I do it. I do it. I'm there to help. I do it. I do it. Only when he recognized his inability, his destitution, if you will, to be able to tie his shoes, only then was it possible for his father to come in with the wisdom of being able to tie his shoes. And I know it's very simplistic. Same principle works with us and God and his wisdom. It is only when we admit that we don't know, we're not doing it right, we need God's wisdom, then that is when he comes down and gives us wisdom. It says there in James, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him, right? We know that. Okay, so we pray before we go to bed every night. We got a big decision coming up. We don't know what to do. God, help me. God, give me your wisdom. Give me your wisdom. And then we wake up the next morning, and what do? We go about working our own plan, trying to figure this out. Much like my son saying, Dad, I need help tying my shoes. Okay. And as soon as he stops asking me, he starts fumbling with the laces again. God is needing us to recognize that we need his wisdom because we have none. And when we recognize that, when we come to that point of, I'll say the word I preached on a couple weeks ago, surrender, then God, just like me with my son, swoops in with the wisdom that's needed. That is the idea of surrendering to God. I can't do this. God, I've been trying to do this for a long time. I have made a mess of this or that, or maybe all of this, depending on your situation. I don't know what to do. God, I need your wisdom now because mine has proven to do nothing but make it worse. Did you hear that? Surrender. Surrender to God. And it's not just this intellectual thing, yes, I surrender. It's like, my son, I can help you with that. Yes, Dad, I know, I need your help. But he doesn't let go of the laces. I forget the little saying that goes along with teaching a kid how to tie his shoes, like where you make the bow and the bunny runs around and ducks through the hole, whatever that is. I don't know. Obviously, I didn't listen too well. I figured it out, okay? But unless my son listens to me say, you got to make the bunny ears and the bunny runs around, unless he surrenders and does what I'm telling him in my wisdom to do, he's not going to get the job done. Again, it's simplistic, but it's real. Because God tells us in his word, you need to do this. Yes, God, thank you for your wisdom. And we continue trying to do our own thing until we are willing to surrender. And God says, you need to do this. Yes, I do that. Okay, now what, God? Now you need to do this. Yes, thank you, God, I did that. Now what? And then he gives us the next bit of wisdom. That's when he gives us wisdom, when we're surrendered. Because God's no fool. We can't fool God. He knows my heart, folks. And when I pray for wisdom from God, he knows whether I'm actually going to follow it or not. And if he knows I'm not going to follow it, it's because my heart's not surrendered and he's not giving it to me or you. We looked at that Wednesday night. If you weren't able to be here, please go back to our archives on the internet and listen to that. I believe it'll be so helpful for us as we begin this series on Wednesday night dealing with revival. When we surrender, here's what happens. Spiritual destitution. If any of you lack wisdom, we have none. Then it suddenly becomes spiritual revelation. And suddenly God is pouring wisdom on us liberally and upbraideth not, as he says in James there. The first bit of wisdom in any person's life comes when they acknowledge that they need a Savior. Before a person does that, what are they doing? They're going through life operating on what they think. I think God's a loving God. I think God wouldn't send anyone to hell. I think God will recognize that I'm a good person. I think God will recognize that although I've done some bad things, I've done a lot of good things. I think when a person is willing to surrender at that point to what God says, where he says we are sinners in need of a Savior, guess what happens? Spiritual destitution takes a step towards spiritual revelation, and he pours into their heart because of their surrendered, repentant heart, the wisdom of the gospel, the wisdom of salvation by faith. John chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be saved, that first bit of revelation being revealed to him, except a man be saved, he cannot see the wisdom of God. It's just not going to be there for him. God is always, folks, he is always ready to give wisdom again and again and again. God foresees our lack of wisdom. He knows we have a lack of wisdom. And he stands, James 1:5 tells us, he stands ready to just pour wisdom out. If only we ask with a surrenderedness. Let's look at something else there. Back to Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1. We have to understand wisdom. Verse 1, it says, My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures. Folks, it is one thing to know that God gives wisdom. We might all say that. Yes, God does give wisdom. We know that. But it's another thing to understand and grasp what that wisdom is. Let me show you. Number one, we must receive the wisdom of God. It says there in chapter 2, verse 1, receive my words. Receiving this wisdom begins, as I've alluded to already, it begins with a penitent heart, with a surrendered heart. Because when we have a surrendered heart, we are in a predisposition to say, I need God's wisdom. I am ready to do God's wisdom. Versus, I have this thing. I'm not sure what to do. I feel like I need to do this. My friends think I should do this. Society, culture says I should do this. Social media says I should do this. I wonder what God says I should do. Let's see what his option. Let me just explore another option here. And then I get God's option and all the other options. Then I decide which one I feel is the best option for me. Isn't that how we many times go about it? When we approach God's word, if we are this surrendered, penitent person with a predisposition that says, I need God's wisdom and I'm ready to do whatever God says, then we go to God's word. All the other stuff doesn't matter. We need to recognize that all the other stuff is probably what's gotten us into the mess that we're in now. Clear it off the table. What does God say? Whatever it is, that's the only option on the table. That's what I'm doing. That's when the windows of heaven are open and God liberally grants us wisdom. What did it say in James chapter 1 and verse 5? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He's ready. But, the next verse, let him ask in faith. It would take a lot of faith to clear all of these options off the table. There's only one. I don't even know what it is yet. But if it's from God, I'm going to have faith. That's what I'm going to do. That takes faith, doesn't it? That takes surrenderedness to do that. Remember, last week we looked at that verse, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, fools despise wisdom. Sometimes we do know the wisdom of God, don't we? We know what God's word says. And what do? God says, you're a fool if we do that. Here's a second aspect about this understanding wisdom. We have to receive it, but we also have to retain the wisdom of God. It says there, chapter 2, verse 1, hide my commandments with thee. So many times we are like the forgetful hearer that we read about in James. We hear the word of God, and then we go our way and forget. We forget, that's the word that's used in James, which could also mean we ignore it. We just don't do it. The word of God, we ignore it. If we don't retain the word of God, it has no effect on our lives. It's as if you're a firefighter and you come in here to this building and we're going to equip you to fight fires. And we give you this protection and that protection and the coat and the hat and the boots and the fire axe and all this other stuff. And you walk out those doors and you leave it right here and go off to fight fires, you're going to get burned. And we do that with God's word. We hear it, we receive it, and then we go out there and get burnt because we didn't retain the wisdom of God. David prayed this, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. This is a really good way to master the word of God, and that is memorize. I cannot memorize like those kids in King's Kids on Wednesday night. Read it one time and they're spitting it out. But I can memorize my grandkids' names. And the fourth one that's coming, I'll be able to memorize that name. You're not going to hear me complaining about, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, son. I just have a hard time memorizing. I'll get your kid's name in a little while. I'm not even going to try because I just can't do it. We can memorize. It might not be volumes and volumes, but we can memorize. What does the Bible say? Faith. If memorizing is something that God wants us to do, then he will equip us to do it, will he not? Do we have faith in that truth when it comes to memorizing? God wants us to hide his words in our heart. Maybe the reason that we struggle with memorizing sometimes is because we approach it with the I can't attitude instead of I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Approach memorizing with faith, folks. Just try it. And then, in order to grasp the word of God, number three, we have to respect the wisdom of God. In order to grasp the wisdom of God, we have to have respect for it. Our problem sometimes in getting to grips with God is that we just don't take him seriously. The Bible describes God as the creator of the universe. The sustainer. A God of love and peace and forgiveness and grace and mercy. Yes, Lord, yes. He is a jealous God. He is real, folks. One day we will stand before him and give an account of our lives. I don't think we take that seriously. Let's look at it another way. How about respect? when we respect what a man says, we act on it, don't we? Absolutely. If your doctor says, you know, that spot on your skin, that's cancer. We need to cut that out. Let's schedule a date. What do you say? How about this afternoon, right? Let's get it out. But if someone who's not in the medical field says, hey, that spot, that looks like cancer. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it probably is. I probably need to do something about that. And then we're the forgetful here and we go our way. But not when the doctor says that. We have respect for what he says. When we have respect for what God says, and his word says, you know what? This is bad. We need to get rid of it. We don't, if we respect him, we don't say, oh, yeah, I probably need to take care of that. Yeah, I need to do better at that. And then go our way and forget what they said. We need respect for what God says to us. When we respect what a man says, we do it. We act on it. Number four, we also have to relate the wisdom of God. Relate the wisdom of God. It says there in chapter 2 and verse 2, apply thine heart to understanding. We're getting all this knowledge from God's word. Now, when are we going to start doing it? You've heard me say this before. A lot of times when I look at God's word, and even as I'm preparing to bring God's word to you, I like to always ask the question, how do I do this verse? That is applying God's word to, how do I do this verse when I go to work on Monday mornings? Because that's what you all need, right? That's what I need. How do I apply this verse when I come home and there's all of this distressful atmosphere in my home? How do I do this verse at that time? That's taking God's wisdom and applying it to my heart so I can have understanding of how it works in these day-to-day activities. That's the whole point of seeking wisdom, folks. The whole point of seeking wisdom is to do it. Life is too tough. The pressures, the problems in life, they're too great. Without God's wisdom, we just can't cope. I came across this quote. This author wrote, "We're not to pray that all our afflictions be removed, for they may be necessary to accomplish God's good purpose in our lives. We need wisdom to put our testings to the right use. We need to know how to face unemployment, discouragement, temptation, unfairness, abuse, relationship issues. We need to know even how to face death. God promises to supply such wisdom." Number five, we have to request the wisdom of God. Chapter 2 and verse 3 of Proverbs, it says, "Cry after knowledge." Sometimes challenges can come almost on an hourly basis, can't they? So we have to request for the wisdom of God. Cry for it. Pray for it. Expecting to receive it. Believe for it. If any man doesn't ask in faith, he's not going to receive it, James tells us. Folks, God deals with us as his sons and daughters. He waits to be asked from a heart that is willing to do it. And when we exercise and when we exercise ourselves to it and are surrendered to faith, he gives wisdom liberally. But only when we're at that point where we're willing to tell our dad, let go of the shoelaces and say, okay, dad, show me what to do. Number six, we have to research the wisdom of God. Now, if you're not an academic type, I may lose you here. But Proverbs chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "Search for her as hidden treasures." It doesn't imply that God has hidden his wisdom from us. taking us on this goose chase that we got to try and track it down. Well, no, he wants to give it to us liberally. What's being referenced here is treasure at one time used to be hidden in the ground. You didn't have banks, you didn't have safety deposit box, you didn't have Liberty safes in your house. You buried your treasure somewhere in the ground, okay, where no one else would know about it. And generally, there would be some kind of notations made somewhere so that it could be found even years down the road. I think we call that a treasure map. They do exist. Well, not anymore. We have banks now. But these notations, these maps, these notations were made as to the location. But when those maps were not precise, the seeker of that treasure would then have to retrace the steps. That called for diligence, patience, persistence. Many times we approach God's word in this way. Okay, go to God's word. My Bible promises from God's word book says, look, okay, I go to these verses, I read them, boom, boom, boom. Oh, not there, nothing helped me. Okay, see you later. God's wisdom is there. But we've got to be patient and persistent like you would be if you were trying to find that treasure you buried in your backyard somewhere. And you read, and you followed the map, and it's not in that spot. I mean, if it's a treasure, I'm digging the spot next to it, right? And the next to that. And next to that. And then I'm writing a backhoe. We're just going to strip the whole yard out, okay? I've got to find that treasure. Approach God's word that way. Dig one or two holes. Yeah, I guess it's not here anymore. Sometimes truths that are already revealed to us, sometimes they're buried in our notes that we've taken. They're buried in our minds somewhere. And they need to be retraced and brought to light by the Holy Spirit. That's one of his jobs, remember? He brings all things to our remembrance. What is the goal of wisdom? Let's consider that here in our final moments together. The goal of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 5 says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. This is important. We have to understand the goal of God's wisdom, because we may be tempted to sit here in our affluent American society that we have, where we have a good job, we've had a good job, we're building our retirement, we've got a nice retirement, our health is fairly decent, I've got good medical care, my health insurance is well, I'm healthy, my life is happy. Why do I need God's wisdom? Right? So what is the goal of godly wisdom? Folks, it is possible to have knowledge without wisdom. I've met people before, and maybe you have too, that were really smart. Even young people, they were able to grasp ideas and knowledge much easier than their peers do. They're able to retain that knowledge. I mean, they could go through all of high school, perhaps, and never bring a book home and get A's and B's on all their tests. And yet, those individuals that I've met, some of them were making some really unwise decisions. They're so smart and so dumb. They've got all this knowledge, but they don't have wisdom. The goal of divine wisdom is the knowledge of God. I need God's knowledge. True wisdom requires us to have a knowledge of God. Here's what we learn about God in these verses, in these three verses here. In chapter 2 and verse 6, we learn that God is our teacher. Folks, God is the master teacher. at a point in time, he took on human flesh. He walked on this earth and he said, I am the truth. Listeners even wondered at the gracious words which came from him. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29, he says, learn of me. In him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's where we need to go. God is our teacher. God is our Savior. In verse number 7 of Proverbs 2, it is God's word, folks, that makes us wise unto salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Paul reminds us that Christ crucified. The whole concept of Christ dying on the cross for the sins of the world, that, he says, is a stumbling block to the Jews. It's foolishness to the Gentiles, but he says, to those of us who are saved, it is the wisdom of God granted to us. Thirdly, God is our keeper. In verse 7, it says, he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He's our protector. God's wisdom protects. Think back, as I will in my life, you think back in yours, some of the dumb, stupid decisions you made. We could probably find some God's wisdom in his word that would have prevented us from making those choices if we had been surrendered and received his wisdom with the intent on doing it. God's wisdom protects. Folks, we live in a polluted world. It has polluted our minds and the way that we think. We're warned about that in the New Testament. They'll call good bad. They'll call bad good. Flip-flopped craziness going on in our world today and the way we look at things. We know some of what God's word says, but there's always a but. Or what we think is a special circumstance. I know what God's word says, but this special circumstance, it's a little bit different. Oh, don't we do that in some big areas of God's word too? These special circumstances, we approach it that way, almost like God didn't see that one coming when he gave us what we already know. Yeah, he gave us this wisdom, but he didn't see this coming. Or I know some of what God's wisdom says, but I just feel like, you know what, folks? I just feel like I really hate that word feel, because it makes us do some really dumb things sometimes, doesn't it? My feelings are, I need to go this way instead. I disregard the wisdom of God because my feelings say I should do something else. God's wisdom, the words that we find in God's word, the words that we already know, they are there to protect us. They are there for us to know how to maintain a life of purity and victory. A life that's going to be granted blessings from God. The ultimate goal of wisdom is to relate us, to connect us to God as a teacher, our Savior, and our keeper. Would you bow your heads, please? Heavenly Father, as we prepare to examine ourselves here this morning, I pray that you would search our hearts. I pray that each one here would pray that you would search their hearts. As we look at this concept of wisdom, it's not a concept. God, your wisdom is real. It's here in your word. We miss it so many times because we read it without a surrendered predisposition to obey your word. And so, The windows of wisdom are closed to us. God, I pray that perhaps each one here this morning would just surrender themselves to reading your word, to do what you have to say. And see where it takes you. Let us prove you to be faithful and true. But God, that takes faith. Strengthen our faith, God. God, I pray if there's someone here who doesn't have yet the faith to even surrender to you as their Savior, that today they might surrender, that they might know that you died on the cross for them, and they have to trust that for the forgiveness of their sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's